Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, we back at it. Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
West Coast.
Nothing but legendary conversations,
shout
man.
Shout out to Five Factory Studios. We here.
Yes.
Live and direct.
Literally live and direct, man. We got
the legend,
the homegrown homie, man. Yeah. One and only Hit Boy. What's the deal, NC3 man? In the building, too, man.
You see him in a couple interviews.
Love that.
At this point,
love that,
he
man.
Used to it. He like, yeah, this ain't nothing.
Right, he just
he asked for the live mics earlier. Yeah. He's like, look, I'm going to talk when I'm ready. You know what I mean?
100.
But bro, you been kicking up some dust, bro. Let's get right into it, man.
I'm having a good time, bro. Just like, you know, making music. I feel like the best music I ever made.
Yeah.
I'm more tapped in, more zoned into the shit that I really want to be making. So it's just an exciting time.
Yeah, what's your phone calls? What's them DMs looking like
right now?
As of like the last week, let's just say.
Last week?
As of the last week.
Man, it's dope because I dropped the song with Alchemist.
Shout out
to
Alchemist.
Which is fire, by the way.
Appreciate that. Good looking.
I mean, the concept, you know, both you guys going back and forth, him rapping, you rapping, him doing the beat, you doing the beat.
On each other's beats.
On each other's beats. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's like just a conversation started, but just a gang of, let alone producers, like rappers hitting me up, you know what I mean? Being like, yo, keep going, bro. Yeah. You in a pocket, you know what I mean? So that's just more inspiration for me to keep doing my shit.
I remember talking to you, I remember if it was like, it might have been almost a year and a half ago, and you was like, man, I'm just locked in on the production. Like, maybe, no, almost 2 years ago, he's like, I'm locked in on the production. I'm in my lane. I found my what I'm doing. And then I heard you rap again. And I was like, okay, so, and I purposely didn't hit you up because I just was like, let me just see. And then when I heard the rap, I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. This is the type of time we on.
Nah, for sure.
What made you want to jump back into it? Or like, I know you always been.
Yeah, I've been honestly dropping songs a little more consistently since like June last year. I started it off with a song called Corsa with Dom Kennedy.
Yep.
And just kept pushing from there. So just like, that's all been leading up to this moment. I'm about to drop I don't think I ever talked about this yet, but I'm literally dropping a whole album next week with me rapping. I got features on it.
A Hit-Boy album.
A Hit-Boy album, yeah.
With you rapping.
With me rapping, yeah. Produced by me and a couple of the homies did some little pieces, but it's just like a real good body of just like what I'm on right now.
How many songs we getting on that?
It's gonna be like 11 joints.
Word.
When did you make the conscious decision to say, okay, it's time for me to drop something versus, you know what I'm saying, continue with the
man,
production?
It's crazy, bro, because shit, the last few years, me even working in the studio I'm at now, like my whole plan was to mash out with whoever really want to come rock with me. That's why I, you know, did the Nas shit. He keep coming back. He keep rocking with me. So I'm going to keep meeting him in the middle. But it was really for me to have a place that I could record my own music.
Gotcha.
As much as I can. So I can, you know what I mean? It's like low cost. I'm in a place to where I can, people comfortable coming to, like big artists, but I also, when I could be in there 24/7 and just going, you know what I mean? I don't got to go find a studio every day. I know exactly when I can go. I can go anytime and just be in that motherfucker, just working on my craft. So I've really been building this album out for a couple years, but the songs just kind of shaped up, and as I felt the body, I just like put it together.
When you was coming up with the concept for, I want to stay on the record.
Slipping in the Darkness.
Slipping in the Darkness.
Yeah.
Because I think we all first caught wind of that. I don't remember if it was Rory posted it.
Yeah, Check this out. I'm gonna set this up real quick.
Okay.
Because the world saw what Hitmaker said, right?
Right, right,
yes.
Right.
I jumped on Twitter. I was like, yo, y'all need to stop playing with Hit Boy.
Stop playing.
Yeah, you
stop
was playing with... the first person on Twitter I seen speak on that.
And then the clip goes up of Rory in there showing, you know, saying that with the snippet going ham or whatnot.
Same day, by the way.
Same day, by the way.
I couldn't wait, bro. You know what I mean? It's like, bro really just was talking crazy, man. Yeah. And I got to give him a pass. I heard he be on coke and pills and all that. You know what I mean? So... it is what it is. He's a little loopy. So
when you went in there and that was like immediately. Like is that how it worked?
Honestly, bro, I had the idea already.
Okay.
And I was, you know, I took the angle of like, I'm not even dissing the other niggas. Right. I'm just literally saying what I haven't heard them do. I didn't say they couldn't do it. Facts. I didn't say niggas was whack. I said, I don't know, dude. You know what I'm saying? He seemed cool. I said, I fuck with Mustard, but I just never heard them niggas do that sound. But look at my catalog. You gonna hear everything, you know what I mean? Every sound, whatever. And that's just like all I was saying. But dude put his neck out, and I was like, all right, cool. This is perfect timing. I'm about to drop this bomb anyway. Mm-hmm. You want to be in the mix? Let's get it.
Just add a bar for you or two. You know what I'm saying?
So that was literally, so you added that after he said
what he said? After he said that. He said it. I seen it in the morning. And then I put the clip out that night.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've been seeing people compare it to the Control verse. You know what I'm saying? Nah, the production Control verse, you know what I'm saying, for the producers out there. Which you can look at it in two lanes. And I love the producers that take it and be like, all right, yeah, let me either step my game up or, let me switch some things up or don't take it as... It's a challenge, you know what I'm saying? We in this competitive field to be better, you know what I'm saying? And I know people take it a certain way, but I look at it as like, yo, step up to the challenge.
I mean, even them niggas might have 100 beats with them with that sound, but they just ain't got it out to the world. So I'm not, you know what I mean? That is what it is, but I was just letting motherfuckers know how I've been rocking from Benny the Butcher. I produced the biggest Griselda release in the history of Griselda. Mm-hmm. Helped Nas win his first Grammy. I got Jay-Z most streamed song. I produced Nipsey biggest song. Like, and niggas be trying to disrespect, bro. That's ridiculous, man.
Do you, so I feel, I think this is, are you fed up? Is this fed up hit?
I mean,
or this is lightly agitated hit.
I'm just a little agitated, but I'm having fun. I'm having a blast making music, bro. I'm having a blast with life, period. And yeah, that's just where I'm at.
Do you think that? Okay, so now that there's this thing, because I seen what he said on, I think it was Ebro. Mm-hmm. I seen what Hitmaker said on Ebro.
Yeah,
and he was like, well, you know, you never gonna hear these Hit Boy songs on the radio, etc. Right. So when you hear stuff like that, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I don't really feel a way, you know what I mean? It's just like we are making what we want to make. Like, he chooses to make the type of shit he want to make. I don't respect it personally, but also I respect a black man getting money.
Right.
So that is what it is. I choose not to speak on him. I could have been. I've been hearing he been behind the scenes doing a little corny shit, but it is what it is. Let that shit slide, but, you know... I don't know, bro. It is what it is, man.
Do you think that when you bring up your catalog, I mean, honestly,
an extensive catalog. First off,
the conversation over. He don't make beats, bro. Let's just start there. I'm really crafting, handcrafting new styles, coming with different bounces, different drum patterns, different type of ways of thinking about the music. And this man don't even make the beat, and he got the nerve to speak on me. That's like, you really on the pills for real? Like, you crazy?
That's a strong like accusation though, bro. Like, but I don't know that. But I'm just, what I do know is I've seen you make beats. I've seen you in there. Like, I've been to your studio.
I mean, I post clips sometimes.
You make beats and throw them up online for people to rap on them. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that from the people that you mentioned either.
Word.
I've never seen. Interactive, that type of.
I'm not even saying they gotta do that at all.
The no, I'm not saying that either.
Respected, rich, they doing their thing. It's amazing, you know what I mean? I just had to create a separation for myself.
So when you went in there and you added that little part to the record, like, because I remember you saying, I only intended to diss one person with this, right?
Yeah.
And then you posted that meme, which was. The meme was wild.
That was hilarious. I mean, just like, I look at it like, bro, look at the comments. Mm-hmm. It's just self-explanatory, bro.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I love this hit.
Me too.
I love. It's not even about, and I'm not even talking about dissing. Fuck all that. I like you standing up for yourself.
Yes.
And letting people know and reminding people of, you know, your catalog and what you contribute and what you have contributed, what you can continue to contribute. And again, that's why I tweeted what I did. I was like, y'all got to stop playing. Because I remember, you know, I remember seeing you, you know, at your spot cooking. You know what I'm saying? Like, and what I kind of want to get into is because you've had times of dark moments and getting back up, right? And most people, they talk about hitting rock bottom without having any success. You've hit rock bottom, had success, and hit rock bottom and bounced back again. Talk about it from that perspective. What do you think is a worse scenario, if that makes any sense? Like somebody that's coming from rock bottom that's never achieved success, or somebody that's achieved success, hit rock bottom and having to come back from that? Because I think that
that's way tougher. You know what I mean? Like we seen so many legends fall and never get back in, you know, they grace, they, you know what I'm saying, just the moment that they was in. And I mean, I never looked at it like, it was just literally one split second where I was like, damn, I really got to reconfigure and I got to figure out exactly where to go from here, which all that made me do was look inside, you know what I mean? I used to have 20, 30 people with me everywhere I'm going. I used to move a certain way. Now it's like, okay, I had to just be like, well, most of the people just dipped off anyway because when you thugging, don't nobody want to be around. So it's like I had to just be like, okay, I'm about to just lock in and just do me to the max. Like I can't be worried about everybody else like I've been for the last however many years. Mm-hmm. As soon as I just looked inside, like I just turned into a whole new beast.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just think that's amazing because I think somebody can get inspiration from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you said it, what I was going to ask is, where do you draw that inspiration from? But you said you had to look inside to get that. No, because a lot of times when you hit that, it's like, and this is not just music, just in life.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Damn, my bad.
It's all good. When you get to the point where you're like, damn, how do I figure this shit out?
Yeah.
Like you said, a lot of people don't they fold under that pressure.
That's when I got to know myself, though. You know what I mean? I got to know myself through that situation to the max. Like when you up, it's hard to see what's really going on and what, you know, who's really there and who like, you know, people could sugarcoat stuff. Like, and then once you get to that point where you dolo, you just really look around and be like, okay, I got to step up certain aspects of what I do. Just step up just overall.
Accountability. Let's talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Where do you feel like you had to step up at? Because somebody's looking at Hit-Boy and like,
I had to step up for me, you know what I mean? I'm just like a real giving, caring type of person. So like I help everybody else and just like I deplete what I got for myself. Because I want to help somebody so much, I had to just be like, take a step back on that. And I'm still like this. I'm still essentially the same person, but I'm just a little more selfish with my energy now and with my opportunities and what I used to just try to bring everybody in on everything. Now I'm like, now I just want to pull up. I'm about to be the engineer. I'm about to be the motherfucking producer. I'm about to be just like helping guide the song through and. That I don't need nobody to do that shit. You know what I mean? That shit just made me a monster, bro. I sat there and recorded 4 albums, 54 songs with Nas. You know what I mean? In the last 2 years, going on the third year, fifth album, it's like I just elevated through this process.
I'm gonna tell you something that I've peeped. How old is C3?
He about to be 3. Next Monday.
I've noticed in the last 3 years how sharp your focus has gotten since you become a father. That's something Nip told me. When I asked him, I'm like, yo, I'm about to have a kid. How do you do this, man? You all over, you doing this, victory lap, everything's going on. He's like, man, it just made me a sniper. And I didn't get it then, but I get it now. And it's like, I look at him and I look at the run in the last couple of years, I'm like, I feel like fatherhood had a lot to do with it as well.
And you don't want to waste no time. Mm-hmm. You want to be doing what you're supposed to be doing during the day or whenever you doing what you're doing. And when you... you taking care of your seed if you really involved and you really a real parent. Like I said, you've seen him in multiple interviews. Right? He's been in Nas albums, he's been on magazine covers, he's been on album covers, he's been on all type of shit at 3 years old. So it's like this is stuff that I wish my pops was out of prison to be able to do for me. So I'm just, you know, I'm going overboard with it.
Yeah.
Man, first of all, you said something that's not to be overlooked. You said 50 what songs?
But 54 songs in 2 years.
And that's crazy in itself, right? But also with somebody like Nas, I've had many arguments about him. Don't feel like doing that again. But what I will say is that when people play with you, like play with your name mm-hmm. and stuff like that, it almost feels like they're not expecting you to stand up for yourself, which is what Chuck gave you credit for. Like Hit Boy is the quiet, humble guy.
Yeah. It's funny because you maybe 4 years ago, this shit always go through my head. You be like, bro, you gotta go up on these niggas. You know what I mean? You been told me that, and I always think about that. Like, and it's like, I feel like I put myself out there. I've done interviews. I spoke on the shit I've done, but now it's just a lot more in context. It's just a lot more,
bro,
respected.
One thing I remember telling you that, and because I like this. Because what I realized is over the course of the last few years, I read a book, and I also got it's Kevin Hart has his podcast. Kevin Hart's podcast, he has Steve Harvey on there, and I remember him asking Steve Harvey,
"That's what you're telling me about?" Huh? That's what you were telling me about.
He asked Steve Harvey. He was like, "Hey, bro, do you realize that y'all was the first comedy tour to sell out basketball arenas?"
Man, that's crazy.
Because when you think of Kevin Hart now, you see doing football stadiums. Uh-huh. But that didn't exist before the Kings of Comedy. Mm-hmm. Steve Harvey, mm-hmm. Bernie Mac, mm-hmm. D.L. Hughley, and Cedric the Entertainer, right? When we never saw black comedians like that.
Yeah, on that level.
In mm-hmm. private jets, limos. Like, we never saw that. Mm-hmm. PB, watch the camera. So, because we never saw them like that, I immediately, after I heard him talk to Steve Harvey, I called Big Boy. And I was like, "Big, like, do you know who you are?" He was like, "What you mean?" I'm like, "Do you know what you are, like, what your legacy and what you mean to us, et cetera?" And he was like, "I think so, but," I was like, "Do you think other people do?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "They probably won't give me my shit till I'm gone." And I'm like, "Fuck that."
Yeah.
Because I remember, I was around for the Carter Three, and I remember Wayne was telling everybody he was the greatest rapper alive before they said it, before the Rolling Stone put him on the cover. I remember that shit. T.I. called himself the King of the South before everybody called him the King of the... Yep. So that's where, I don't know if I ever told you, but that's the backstory of where that came from.
Crazy.
Is when I was telling you, like, nah, bro, you got to, like, tell these motherfuckers who you are. 100. Excuse my language.
100.
You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But I like that fire, and I want to see more of that, honestly.
Listen, man, it's coming. It's on the way. Bro.
Do we have a name for the project, for the album?
Yeah, the album is called Surfer Drown, you know what I mean? Wow, Surf Club, that's been my thing since I was 17 years old, just chasing cash, the homies, everybody just, you know, just some wavy shit. But Surfer Drown is like my story, you know what I mean? Like, I could have just drowned in that moment and been like, cool, my career is over, I did what I did, but I just, you know what I mean, looked inside and took this shit to another level. So,
jeez, man.
You know what I mean? I surfed on niggas for sure.
Dude, now I was looking through the records, and I remember seeing a clip online about Sicko Mode, and you said that Travis FaceTimed you, right, and is playing the record.
Yeah,
and there's more to the record, or like,
because the beat is like a whole beat. It had a beat drop and everything. You could hear a little bit of it right before the next beat come in, but Travis cut it like right when I put the 808s in.
So there, did you hear the other part?
Yeah, I did. I did just over FaceTime. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So it's somewhere. You never heard the full...
I mean, as far as I know, I just remember him playing me a longer version over the phone.
Gotcha.
And he just chopped it down and made it make sense for Astroworld.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Victims and Villains, man. Music Soul Child.
Fire.
So you go from one legend to another legend. Yeah. How did this come about, you and Music Soul Child?
Man, Ali-Oop, bro, he hit me on the DM like, man, I love what you and Nas doing. Let's tap in. And it was that simple. He pulled up. He flew out from Atlanta, played him a batch of beats. He probably took 10 beats when he first sat down with me and did them all. And he just kept coming back. We did maybe 10 sessions for that album. You know what I mean? And got it done. Yeah.
Is that something where you come in with... I'm so intrigued by your process because it's like there's so much music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people that you're involved in and with. When you get the DM, walk me through the process. You get the DM, mm-hmm. you say pull up. At that moment, are you thinking, okay, I got something for him? Oh, or is it an immediate cook up when he pulls
like
up?
I listen to a lot of his music as a youngin', you know what I mean? My family always played his music, so I feel like I downloaded that DNA. It's mm-hmm. already in me to be able to know, like, okay, this is what I like from him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give him a piece of that and then update it with where Hit Boy is at right now and just, like, kind of keep it like that.
Is the process different working with somebody like Music Soulchild versus somebody like Big Sean versus somebody like Nas? Is the process different for you musically?
I mean, yeah, for sure, because everybody got their process of how they do it, you know what I mean? Like, some people just sit there and get it all done in one sitting. Some people want to take it, listen to it, update the bars, make shit a little better. Like, Music, it kind of was like the easiest process of all, because he really just took beats and went and did his thing, sent the songs back, and I'm like, this should sound like, great, this should sound right.
I got to do it. We good.
Everybody I was playing it for, so yeah, everybody got and you got to respect their process, whatever that may be, you know what I mean? You might, as a producer, you want it to get done ASAP, but you know, let them take their time, let them work the record out how they see fit.
So as a producer, when somebody's process doesn't necessarily match up with your process, what does that look like? Are you pushing them to kind of meet you where you're at, or are you going kind of where they're at?
I mean, sometimes I got to push. If I feel strongly about a beat or a record, you know what I mean? I'm going to be like, yo, you should really rock with this. And it might take them recording to 3, 4, 5, 6 other beats before one day we just chilling and we just got a 5 minutes of downtime and I just go through beats. I end up playing that one. And it might be like, you know, like I've done that with Nas, you know what I mean? Just certain joints where when I first played it, he might have just not been in the mind state to receive it as I, you know, was trying to present it. But he'll go back to joints and be like, oh, that's it. It literally just happened. I just left a session with Nas before I came here. This was 30 minutes ago. We was in the studio. A joint I played him a while ago. I said it could fit the new album, and he didn't do nothing initially. I made that beat probably 3-4 months ago. Jeez. He just heard it again tonight, and we was just sitting around chilling, had his phone out. Next thing you know, I hear this nigga come up with like the craziest first 4 bars. I'm like, bro, you gotta finish that verse out. He just said,
look, we gotta look, we stopping everything we doing. Finish this tonight.
Nah, for sure.
I love that.
Have you ever heard a verse? I'm sorry. Have you ever heard a song and in a session, it could be anybody from whoever, right, that you've worked with, and you're like, man, I got to get on this one.
I mean,
as a rapper.
For sure. I mean, I be feeling that a lot, especially like, I be inspired, you know what I mean? I be feeling inspired by Sean, by Nas, by Benny the Butcher. Like,
I'm saying, what song started off with you not being a part of the plan? What song that we know that was, you wasn't a part of the plan initially, but you like, nah, fuck that.
I'm gonna say the record that I rapped on Nas's, the second album we dropped, King's Disease 2. He had the idea for the composure joint, and one day we was just vibing. He was like, bro, you should rap on this. And I wasn't even thinking about it at first, and it just ended up on the album, you know what I mean? I got a verse on a Nas album.
At that point, is it an outer body experience, or are you just used to kind of just linking up with Nas at that point? Because like you said, you already 2 albums in, you know, and he hits you like, yo, get on this. Is it like, oh shit, do you have a moment to like really understand what's happening?
Definitely, because I mean, like I said, I'm in that studio to work on my own stuff and work on other things, but that was just another moment to be like, okay, cool. Like, I can lay something down that's going further where I'm at with my artistry.
And salute to you for not, like, overthinking that. Yeah. Because, again, we've heard stories. We've seen, you know, seen situations where in that situation, like, you might just fumble the opportunity. It's like,
I could have been scared. You could be like, well, hold on. I'm not fucking around with Nas. Nah, it's cute. Just but, I mean, you know, it was all respect. And I still get people that hit me up about that verse. You know what I mean?
Now, I like the way you said, you know, we already talked about 4 King Diseases. Yeah. You said you was just in the studio with Nas 30 minutes ago. What's going on? It's
some serious stuff. I can't give out, you know what I mean, too much info. We was just in the studio.
It's working. Okay.
That's you know what I mean? Like, it's shaping up.
It's shaping up.
Gotcha. Yeah,
I like that. So working with...
Come on, man.
He like, daddy, I'm trying to give you an out right now.
Yo, so working with other people, I remember you sat down and you was talking to, I think it was Ack, about working with Roddy and then also Kendrick.
Yeah.
Since then, have any one of them tapped in? Have you ever a chance to talk to them?
Nah, and it's like, I wanted to...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hold up. I'm doing an interview. I'm doing an interview real quick. I'm
Hello.
When I get done. What was I about to say?
You working with Roddy or
Kendrick? Oh, right. Yeah, nah, they ain't tapped in, but I got nothing but respect for them dudes, you know what I mean? And they don't, I'm not saying that nobody has to work with Hit-Boy. I'm saying from a fan perspective, wouldn't you want to hear more songs from the people who made Backseat Freestyle together or made Racks in the Middle? That's all I was really saying. I wasn't trying to be like, I seen headlines saying Hit-Boy salty and all. Like, come on, bro, stop it. Like,
I don't think you saw that about nothing.
You know what I mean? I'm just like saying as a fan first, fuck Hit-Boy, the producer. I'm talking about just a music lover. I think it would be dope to hear more songs in the vein of the people that made them songs.
I mean, you hear it all the time. Even when we do interviews or just anytime there's a collaborative effort, is always a question. Yo, when's the next one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When y'all gonna do this? Mm-hmm. Like, even to now. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's another one. Yeah. Always people
I mean,
even
with the Slipping in the Darkness, bro, it's like so many people hit me like, yo, I need the Alchemist Hit-Boy EP now. You know what I mean? So
is that a thing?
That will be a thing. I'm about for to sure. Say, he already started sending me more ideas. I sent him some ideas. So, yeah, we're going to make
What
that
about,
up.
So has there been any production collabs like that? Like, you know how Drake and Future did What a Time to Be Alive? Mm-hmm. Is that like something that, a concept that you guys might do or that Hit-Boy might do?
I think it's like been done like by like certain underground artists in the past and shit like that. But I feel like we kind of broke a new barrier and we bring it into the modern era. We bring it into a modern state. So I feel like I think that's why it's connecting so well. You know what I mean? It's because people are like, damn, we never really seen nothing like this.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Now, if you do, go ahead.
No, I just want to know how that concept came about. Was it y'all just cooking and it's like, hey man, I think this would be dope? Or like, how did that actually
what's
happen?
Crazy? We been cool, like me and Alchemist, but I seen him on the homie Larry Jones song rapping, and I was like, oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
So I instantly just was like, man, what if I send him a beat? He rap on my joint and he send me a joint. So I literally made that beat like the same day I thought of that, sent it to him. I only sent him that one beat and he was like, oh, I'm on this. And then he sent me a couple beats, went through them, and I was the one that I just like connected with the most, and we got it done.
So
when we shot that video, that was like we shot it and it was done the next day, you know what I mean? And we put it out the second day. So it was like a 2-day process from shooting the video to dropping the video.
But what about making the song to shooting the video? How long was the process between those?
That was like a week and a half.
Now when he heard your verse.
Yeah, no, but he was the first person to say it, because that was my train of thought, was like, let me come at this from a control type of perspective.
Fact.
He was like, damn, bro, you Kendrick me on this shit. He was like, man, I might have to go back in. I'm like, nah, you solid, bro. You sound amazing on this shit. Like, he used to hang out with Prodigy a lot, rest in peace. Yeah. So I'm like, I know this dude got some knowledge on cadences and bars and how to really get in that pocket.
Yeah.
For
him. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think, I don't know, like, it got to be interesting to get that verse back. It'd be like,
and not want to change
so.
It. I mean, just like, hey, look, hey, man.
He definitely was like on the fence. I'm like, bro, please don't change record. It, my nigga. You
yeah.
good, bro.
Yeah, we putting this out like as is.
That's crazy.
I want to go back to your catalog real quick, because something that I never had a chance to talk to you about was, bro, the Nicki and Beyonce record. Feeling myself. Is it Feeling Myself? Mm-hmm. Feeling Myself. Mm-hmm. And then, I didn't know on the credits, because I knew you produced, but I didn't know that on the credits, it looks crazy, bro. I don't know if you ever saw it side by side. It says producer. It says producers, and then it says Beyonce, Hit-Boy. That's it.
We got a couple joints like that.
I was looking at that, I meant to ask you. I was gonna call you one day when I was looking at it, because I was just on my nerves, shit, digging through the that to me was crazy.
I mean, that just happened again on the Renaissance album, on the Thick joint.
It was
like
Thick.
Beyonce, Hit-Boy, like that. You can't never. That never get out of go out of style. That's always like, nigga. This
what
shit
is
really,
so when you collab with somebody like Beyonce? Is that a session? Is that a phone call?
I've done a lot of sessions with her. You know what I mean? For this album, she invited me to the studio one time during the process and kind of just updated me where she was at and played the house dance vibe and told me that she was gonna fit that record into the mix, and I was like, psh, that's amazing.
So when your phone ring, like, What does it say?
It ain't her.
I ain't never gonna be there. So I gotta live through you.
That's like the DM.
That's like getting Michelle Obama contact.
Yes. Okay. So it's like, yo, B wants you to pull up.
Yeah, her team just set it up. Yeah, she wants you to be here this time. And I just try to pull up with as many ill beats as I possibly can.
Bro, you gotta pull up with this shit.
She, nah, for sure. And she always be like open to listening, man. And she just like shows her respect for what I do. And obviously I've got an incredible amount of respect for her. So it's always been dope. We've been working together since like 2013 for real.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And then also, obviously you're from here, but from California, mm-hmm. from the IE, but everybody across the world got to introduce you to niggas in Paris.
Right.
And I felt like, as just me being who I am out here, I felt like that was your record, right?
Word, you know what I mean?
Because it was just like,
it was a moment.
Bro. I remember you doing clubs and stuff. And I was I remember playing the record and you was in there. And I was just so proud.
Word.
That's crazy. That might have been high. Radio too.
Did you used to be at high back in the day?
Listen, I used to be everywhere. And the thing is, when I seen the reaction that you got from a record that you wasn't rapping on, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is special. Because I don't think we've had that in so long.
Nah, man.
And that record was massive.
Yeah.
And then I remember also after, like, in the last couple of years, you talking about Kings of Z's and working with Nas, but you haven't really worked with Ye like that since back. Or how long has it been since y'all worked?
Well, I mean, we worked during the Drillmatic sessions because I produced on the Easy.
No, yeah, Easy, yeah.
With the homie Duke. So that was the last time we was really tapped in. And, you know, Ye is Ye, man. Like, if it's ever meant to link up again, like, I just know that where I'm at, it's going to be a problem. You know what I mean? If I catch him in that right mind state and ready to just lock in, like, it's over with.
Is it like an easy? I always heard that people like Ye, and then I heard this about DJ Quick too. Like, they're very particular about certain sounds, and everything got to be EQ'd.
Every detail.
A maniac.
Bro, mm-hmm. Quick told me in the middle of an interview, hey, turn it up 0.5 decibel.
Middle of an interview.
I was like, oh, okay. He said, right. Yeah, it's just the way it's going to. I was like, all right, you got that, Quick. You got it. Right.
Is it like that? Or?
Nah, for sure. I mean, he real specific about what he want, and he knows he articulates himself in an interesting way. Like, mm-hmm. he just like sporadic. He gonna say exactly what he feeling. Like, when we was making Easy, he had heard where we was at with the beat, and he was like, nah, we gotta add more chords to that. He was like, those not the chords that's gonna be played at my funeral. I need some chords on this shit that's gonna be played at my funeral. That's the type of mind.
What?
But look, it makes sense in his mind.
Head.
Yeah,
it clicked. Okay, cool. I need some shit that's to die for.
Right,
I think
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something crazy. So.
You could just said you need some dark shit.
Yeah, you could have just said it that way, bro.
dark shit. Jesus. Hey, but no, it just allows you to kind of understand, like, again, going back to people's processes, you know what I'm saying? And really kind of adjusting and adapting to it.
And that's crazy because when we first linked 2011, this was like top of 2011, like January 2011. And we first sat down to make a beat. We was working on this song on Watch the Throne called Lift Off. Like, I did a little co-production on that too, off of Watch the Throne. But that was the first joint we worked on, and just the way he was communicating. At first, I'm like, this nigga is on some shit right now. Yeah. I'll be like, you better chill out for real. You know what I mean? But it's like, that's how he communicated.
Yeah.
I had to get to know that. I had to learn that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just learn other people's communication. Mm-hmm. Now, you were early when it comes to the verses thing.
Like, man, Boy Wonder had the first verse.
I know.
I'm still hot about
Timbaland Swizz one was not a setup. Promoted versus it was a board on and it's quarantine. Let's get in the whip, ride around and play some joints. They was hyping me and Boy Wonder joint with posters, and you had people from Canada talking crazy. You had all type of stuff going on. Niggas was texting my phone with pictures of Drake, and I just knew it was Wonder and Drake them in a group text just trying to troll me and shit.
Crazy.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, when Jim Jones, he was on with Hitmaker on Hidings, he said, do I smell a versus?
Now, no, you don't, bro. Like, stop it. That dude don't make beats. I make beats, bro. I really produce, my nigga. Like, that's clown behavior to me, bro. Literally, bro. Like, stop it, my nigga. What are you talking about?
Okay, bro? So that's off the table. But
he's an A&R, bro.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that.
All right. You know what I mean? So let's say, let's take Hitmake out the equation. Because you were the first Versus, mm-hmm. is that something that you open to doing again?
Not really, to not be really. Honest.
Okay.
Nah, not for real.
Okay. You over it.
Yeah. I you know, we helped crack it off, man. So yeah, dude. That's enough.
I don't like, I still don't like people playing with your name, bro. I'm just putting it out there like that, bro. I just,
yeah. And like you said, I've been a humble, quiet, chill dude like my whole career. So, you know, people would think they could play with you, but then it's like, oh no, this is a real dude right here. You know what I mean? Like niggas start to understand that it ain't that.
Now, at one point, obviously, you had, you know, doing HS87. Mm-hmm. Is that still intact? Do you still plan on putting artists out?
Everybody just kind of doing their thing, you know what I mean? From Audio Push to K. Roosevelt, like they real musicians, man. They love this music stuff, so they locked in. But just like I said, that was a part of having to, I was doing a lot, bro. At 24 years old with the label, working on Audio Push, working on K. Rose, my own stuff, mm-hmm. and producing for other people, traveling to, just like it was a lot. So it kind of just didn't shape up the way I really wanted it to. Yeah. So it's just like, I had to be like, you know, I can't focus on all this right now. Like, everybody just go kind of do their thing, and I'm going to do mine, and we all, you know, everybody going to end up where they supposed to, for real.
So is the
like
door...
Price doing this thing.
Right, fast.
Everything, so it's love.
Is the door for that closed, like, entirely?
I mean, we can always make music. I've known them dudes. I've known Octane since he was, what, 11, 12 years old. I've known Price since he was maybe 16, 17. So it's family, for real, and... we can always make music. Just as far as that, like, you know, everybody, it's like a new day. It's like 10 years later. So Price, he doing deals of his own. For sure. Everybody moving, and that's just what it is. But I'm just kind of, I could just jump back in the Surf Club bag. You know what I mean? That's where, that's what the label is. I'm about to be signing artists to Surf Club.
There it is.
There
just
go.
Like pushing the movement.
Now that was my question is, you know, the next wave, the thing you do, are you interested in doing that, signing artists and kind of getting back into that bag again?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing with Surf Club. Nice. I actually got a partnership with Def Jam for Surf Club.
Wow,
so,
bro. Congrats. Yeah,
thank you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Pull a chair.
Come on.
No, you good. What was I about to ask you? Oh, Half a Mil.
Kennedy, man.
Hit-Boy and Dom Kennedy.
Legend.
Is there another Half a Mil
man,
project?
I know he got a couple projects of his own in the chamber. Like, I know he got maybe some collaborative stuff coming. Are we going to leave?
Like, look, bro.
I mean, Half a Mil, bro. That's another place where my heart is. And whenever we tap in, people they ask me for that every day. Whether it's Twitter, whether it's DM, they in my comments like, yo, what's up with Half a Mil? So I kind of let Dom just do his thing. You know, he's a master creator. Like, he ain't just like out here frivolous moving. Like, he be calculated with how he moves. So it's like, when it's time, it's gonna be right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about I feel like you and Big Sean got great chemistry.
Well, yeah.
Like musically, mm-hmm. I think that from a rap, I always say like we need a Big Sean on the West Coast. And my older reference was a Ludacris. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because Luda was somebody that's respected in the streets, but he not really a street dude.
Yeah.
But the street dudes fuck with his music.
Mm-hmm.
But he can also give you records,
right.
But he can also bar you out if he need to. Sean is one of those too.
No, for sure.
You feel me? Like Sean is one of them people who just as a rapper, not a producer, not nothing. Yeah. Like I'm a rapper, and this is what I do full time. Mm-hmm. I think that we kind of need that, and the only person I really see doing that out here is, well, I'm gonna say on names. Every time I say now, I get in trouble.
You about to get some texts and DMs and
yeah, you didn't mention me, but my thing is. Y'all together, I feel like was a great combination.
1,000.
Like, I think that's a great formula for whatever Sean is doing.
I got so many songs with Sean, from like real hip hop rap stuff to like, you know, current modern wavy new sounding stuff. Like, we always just working. We just homies, you know what I mean? Like, we've been homies before the Good Music days. Mm-hmm. Like, I was cool with him. So, we just, where we at now, bro, we just got joints. So, whenever he ready to pop out, you know, he just had a seed, so he been ducked, and when it's time for him to pop
and
out, I'm sure I'll be somewhere in the mix, for sure. We was just together the other day out in Vegas.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to shows with Nas, when you go to shows with Sean, are you, like, waiting to see if they're going to bring you out to do the record, or Like, are you?
I mean, well, shit, I've only done one show with Nas, which was at Madison Square Garden.
That's not only one show.
Right.
I've only done one show at Madison Square Garden.
21,000 people sold out, and he brought me out for Michael and Quincy. Yep. That was a big moment. You know what I mean? He performed 20 of my songs at MSG.
I saw you post, and I seen you in the pit. I was like, damn, that got to be a crazy moment to see
that. Crazy, for sure. That shit was A1. As far as Sean, like, I'll pop out with him, like, different little spots. Like, he be doing the residency in Vegas, yep. You know what I mean? I'll pop out on stage here and there because he'll play Click. He'll play about 3 or 4 of my joints. So I'll pop out and rock with him sometimes.
Is there anything that's on the bucket list as of right now? No, and the reason why I bring this up because, again, the Alchemist Hit Boy shit, I don't think nobody really saw that happening, right? Mm-hmm. You guys getting on the track, rapping and making each other's beats, right? But or rapping on each other's beats. Is there something right now where you like, yo, I got to get that off. I gotta do that. Is there something that's untapped that you have your mind on?
I mean, man, Surfer Drown, bro. Like, it's new, fresh sounds on that. I feel like it's some bounces. I got a joint. Yeah, it's some shit coming. I feel like it's like kind of like I've been trying to just find a way to make stuff feel like West Coast, like gangster, but modern, you know what I mean? Without it being like, oh, I'm about to hop in the Dre bag or the Battle Cat bag, you know what I mean? Which is like them the top two when you think about the sound for me personally. Facts. So I'm trying to like find a way to make it Dre. Like, that's what I felt like Racks in the Middle was. Like, I feel like if that song was on Detox, you know what I mean? Nobody would be mad at that. Like, it's like a modern version of some Chronic type shit to me.
Gotcha. It doesn't sound dated, you know? Yeah.
So, do we ever see a joint project with anybody that you mentioned on the record, like how you doing with Alchemist, where maybe, like you said, you never heard Mustard on Boom Bap.
Mm-hmm.
What if y'all click up and y'all do some Boom Bap together?
Man, you know Mustard, that he living a different life. Like, that nigga's, he got that bread, you know what I mean? So it's like, if he was down to work, I would be with it, but I just feel like, you know, he might be in a different place.
Right. But I'm saying that you would be open to that.
Yeah, I mean, bro, I'm down for everything organic. I don't like to force nothing. Gotcha. I don't like to try to do nothing that don't feel just like the most natural possible, you know what I mean? Just more natural as possible, so. But I'm with it, bro. I'm open. I ain't got nothing against niggas at all.
Right. I just think I don't know what that would sound like. I'm intrigued. You and Mustard, you and Metro. I don't know what that would sound like. I'm intrigued by it. Right. But you open to it.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
I'll just add it. I'm leave that alone.
Like, I made beats with Southside. Me and Southside produced a song for ASAP Rocky and Big Sean. Mm-hmm. It was a joint called Frat Rules off of Cozy Tapes 2. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's just like I said, bro, it just was a moment to like let people know my separation.
Flex.
I was gonna say, have you gotten those calls directly or text directly from those individuals to either say, hey, what's up with that, or oh, I hear what you like, salute. Like, I understand.
Nah, I ain't heard nothing. You know what I mean? I'm more so just like, and honestly, at this point, I really make my music for just like fans of music. I don't really make it for nobody in the industry because they gonna find out, and a lot of people don't find out until it's the hottest it could possibly be anyway. Mm. So I'm not finna be just like out here trying to tap dance for the industry at all. Like, I'm literally like, bro, go look at my comment sections on YouTube, on IG, like on like in my tweets. Like, it's people that love this song with Alchemist, you know what I mean? And that's what I'm focused on. I'm just focused on the people.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I'm
excited, man. I'm excited for the next chapter.
Sure.
I want to give you your flowers for this particular reason. It's personal. It has nothing to do with music. And I think I've told you before, but I just want to say it on record. What you've done, and this is gonna sound crazy, what you've done for my wife, right, for Tasha, right? For those that don't know, she was your personal chef for an extended period of time, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
You came in her life and our lives for a really, like, at a pivotal point. Mm-hmm. And you gave her the confidence to know that she can do this shit. Wow. You know what I'm saying? And ever since then, she ain't never looked back at a 9-to-5. That's since cold. You That's provided that opportunity.
I didn't even know that. That's
crazy. So I on record, I know she appreciates it. I appreciate, you know what I'm saying, what you've done. Obviously, you and Kaz, and shout out to Melissa as well. But I look back at it, because I was always telling her, like, yo, this you can do this shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when that opportunity came, she was like, damn, I can. Uh-huh. And from there, it's just been
level up from there. You always, man. I mean, you know, whatever profession, you always need that just like moment of validation where it's like, and it's strictly coming off what you actually do and what you really want to do. It ain't no fluff around it. It ain't no, you know, ulterior motives. Yeah. Ain't no, it's just like purely like, yeah, you went crazy. Like Nas called me at 6 a.m. after I dropped Slipping in the Darkness, like Slipping in the Darkness. Like, yeah, bro. Crazy. Like, you went in on that joint for sure. So it's like, how I'm supposed to feel with another nigga that's not on nowhere near Nas level trying to down me when Nas is calling me at 6 a.m. about my verse. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What was that first? I'm sorry.
No, you good.
What was that first moment for you?
For as far as?
Like, when you got that reassurance.
Man, when I was younger, I kind of just thought everything I did was hot. So I was a little on the cocky side, you know what I mean? But, you know, really it was like, I talked about this on Producer Grind. I posted a clip on my IG today, and I was saying how when I was 18, Polo heard some of my beats on MySpace.
Polo the Dunn.
And he gave me like 13 racks at 18 years old. I remember I drove out from Fontana all the way to downtown to the First Republic Bank, cashed that check. I had a Hollister sweater on. I put that motherfucking envelope in my hoodie and drove back to the Inland, nigga. And I was taking care of my family off that little bread. I helped my mom get a car, all type of stuff. So, you know what I mean? That was the moment where I was like, oh, damn, like, I just made this. 13 racks. Mm-hmm. I had made a little money up, you know, 1,000 here, like 500 here, just like selling beats. But at that point, and I had only been making beats for 2 years at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, so getting that 13 racks, man, that was like,
shout
okay,
to Polo
yeah. You know what I mean? It's up.
Fire.
One last thing about fatherhood, man. I want you to kind of touch on any advice you can give to all the dads out there. You know, you've been being an experienced father of 3 years now.
Right.
What advice? I love seeing this because it's funny because I have these moments as well. And chill out, but you know, still want them to be a part of it.
Right.
What advice could you give to all the fathers? What dad advice can you get all the dads out there?
Man, I was waiting for this question. I mean, man, just be present, man, and be in the moment, be appreciative, man, of just like how beautiful this is. Like, I'm watching this kid grow up, develop more dialogue, get taller, grow out of clothes, get new clothes. Like, it's just like, if you present, everything is going to kind of flow. Like, I was scared because I'm always in the studio, you know what I mean? And before he got here, I was in the studio even more. So I was just scared that it was going to take me away. But me being present, me really loving him, I bring him with me now. I just like whatever I gotta do to like stay close to him and still be able to handle my business. That's what I'm gonna do.
Now, and I love that too, because now you guys have these moments, like you talked about the Nas album and, you know, him being on different interviews and just seeing those moments. He's gonna be able to appreciate this shit much more.
He gonna get so much clout at school.
His voice is on King's Disease 3 just from being in this, just being around us. He was in pretty much damn near every session for KD3. Just like coming with me to the studio every day, and his voice ended up on the album. He got his name on the production credits for a Nas album at 2 years old. So I'm like, man. I want him to just be way colder than me. And I feel like it's going to happen by default because I didn't have this opportunity. Like, even though my uncle made music, I wasn't going to the studio with him every day. I go here and there, but he in there really in the trenches with us, you know what I mean? While Nas is writing rhymes, while I'm making beats, you know what I mean? While we really vibing. So he picking up them vibrations. And his favorite artist is Michael Jackson, bro. We getting the whip. He want to hear Beat It, Rock With You.
For real?
PYT, Wanna Be Starting Something. And he back there singing the lyrics, bro. Like, it's crazy.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
Bro, well, man, we appreciate the conversation, man. I'm still
going. Family, bro.
Yeah, I'm still going that hill, man. Stop playing with it, boy.
Stop playing with it, bro.
Let them know the album once again.
Man, Surfer Drown, man. And it's the first volume. This, you know what I'm saying? Surfer Drown. It's about to be volumes dropping.
Ooh. Volumes. Plural.
Yeah. The Alchemist Hit-Boy Project definitely is going to be within that realm.
And everything with Def Jam? Or?
So, with the Def Jam situation, it's the label, and then I did a production deal to, you know, just on the production side. As far as my rapping, I wanted to keep that independent because I had two deals before, and it's just a longer process to drop music. Right. Like, Slipping in the Darkness would have been coming out in June or July if I was on Def Jam, but me making the music and really going off the vibe I'm in at the moment, that just works more for me. Yeah. So I kept that independent.
Yeah, I see you was hot that it didn't get uploaded right away, right?
Yeah, it said, and when it came out, it says Hit-Boy LLC.
Yeah,
I love that.
Could drop music whenever I feel like it.
What do you think you're gonna learn this go round? Because you said before you were kind of overextending yourself a little too much when you had the label, kind of doing too much for this. You know, it's just you weren't ready at that time.
Yeah.
What do you think you've learned over the years that you're gonna apply this go round when it comes to Surf Club?
I mean, man, just having patience with it, doing it right, like, you know what I mean, not just jumping at any opportunity to just like do anything. Like, it's just like, make sure you got the whole plot. Make sure you know, the artists that I watch, you know, which I watched Tyler from Ground Zero. I watched Travis Scott. I even watched Kendrick Lamar. I watched a lot of these dudes develop their look, develop their sound, develop their stage presence, develop all these things that's around it. So just like really like locking in on the development side of things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing with myself for the last few years. Like I said, and with the artists that I'm working with, I'm gonna just make sure that we really locked in and we gelling before we just rush to put anything out.
Yeah, love that, bro. Hit boy, man.
I'm proud of you, bro. I could see the elevation in your rhetoric, the way you talk.
Like, man, I'll be hanging around a smart motherfucker like Nas, man. You know what I mean? Like,
he on some whole other
level. Like, just like listen to the words in his songs. Like, he's just a different type of thinker. So I'm sitting there having conversations with him and just different brilliant people. Like, I feel like I'm just elevating on every level, like you said.
Man, I'm here for it. I appreciate you, bro, for real.
Nah, for sure. Appreciate
and keep,
y'all,
and let people know who you are, bro.
Off top.
You see, Three's dad. You know what I'm saying?
Straight up. This kid ready to go to sleep.
Man, he like, look, bro. He like, I can gave y'all this time. I ain't screaming. I ain't turning up. All right, man.
Say peace out, dude.
He like, I'm sleep out.
Man, love, man.
Appreciate you, man. It's Homegrown Radio. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. Hit boy. Catch y'all next time.